We cover every soul that will come into this place with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the authority in the blood of Jesus. Ancient of Days, we bless you. Thank you, Lord, for your move in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that will take place in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that moves in the midst of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the open heaven. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to come into your presence, to receive from the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, because the Holy Spirit will minister to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the glory being manifest. Thank you, Father, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for the touch upon every soul that comes into this place this morning. We give you all the glory. Ancient of Days, we bless you. We magnify your name. Thank you, Lord, for the transformation in every life this morning. Yes, Lord, the turning around in every life, the touch upon every life this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because all filthiness has been removed. Thank you, Lord. Oh, our God and our King, we magnify your name. We just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Oh, our God and our King, we exalt you. We magnify your name. God of heaven, we thank you for every soul that will come into this place. Your word says no one comes before you and remains the same. We exalt your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The intention of our gathering is to invite God in. When I woke up this morning, the song I woke up with was, "We invite you in, Spirit of the Lord. You're the one we're waiting for. You are our desire." I want us to lift up our voice and present ourselves before. We invite you in, Jesus. Lord, we exalt you. Everything to be cleansed with blood. Lord, we cleanse ourselves before you today. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus, based on the work that you have done, we ask for purification. We invite you in, Jesus. We invite you in, Lord. We invite you in, our God. God, in our lives, in our families, in our homes, we want your presence. We want you to dwell in this place, oh God. We want to encounter Jesus. We want to encounter Jesus. We want to encounter Jesus. Lord, we want to be saturated with your unction. We want to be saturated with your unction. We don't want to leave the same. We don't want to leave the same. We don't want to leave the same. Father, Lord, we want to know you more. In this month of transformation, every day counts. Every day counts. You promised, oh God, in the first 21 days, You will do wonders. Lord, here we are. Here we are. And the children you've given unto us. We lay ourselves before you and we say, Jesus, have your way. Have your way. We ask your God, come down, O Father. Come down, O Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. To the glory of thy holy name. We exalt you, O Father, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. In the name of Jesus.
The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you, Jesus. Amen. Let us open our Bible to Luke 1, verse 10. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembly worshippers were praying outside. Amen. I think we can see ourselves in this scripture. It's a time of prayers, and we are all together praying to God. Hallelujah. Say, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. The God of heaven will reveal himself to you today. The angel of the Lord will stand by your right. Hallelujah. I said the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing by the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. I said your eyes will be opened. You will see the angel. You will see the person, the Spirit of God as he passed by. Jesus is passing by today. You will see Jesus. Your eyes will be opened. Hallelujah. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Put your name. Do not be afraid, Ephesus. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. You know, before now, they have said that Elizabeth is barren. They have said that nothing can happen. Hallelujah. They have written them off. But God said that what men say it is impossible, it will be done. Hallelujah. God of heaven is here. Hallelujah. You have come to encounter God. It is not your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at somebody that is standing beside you. Concentrate on the Almighty God, and God will sort you out. I want you to go big prayer. I say, Lord, I come to have an encounter with you, the only true God, the Almighty God, the I am that I am, Jehovah Nissi, El Shaddai, El Kabod, the God that speaks, Jehovah Roi, the God that sees. He sees what you are going through. Lord, I have come to have an encounter with you. I have come to have a touch with you. Zechariah was doing his own duty. Zechariah was doing his job. But God intercepted him. Father, intercept my worship. Lord, intercept my prayer. And Lord, visit me. Send forth your word to me. God, amongst the crowd, separate me. The Bible says the woman with the issue of blood, she was separated amongst the crowd. Some people thought the aim of Jesus. They were not healed. But when she touched the edge of the world, of the cloth of Jesus, she was healed. I want you to pray for yourself. I say, Lord, I might have come here yesterday with a different mindset. I might have come here yesterday with a different understanding, but today I've come with a different understanding. Lord, I am not going back the way I came. Lord, touch my life. Lord, touch my mind. Lord, touch my spirit. Lord, touch my soul. Transform me, Lord Jesus. Let the veil be removed. The veil was removed from the eyes of Zechariah, and he saw the angel. It is not the first time of him entering into that place. It is not the second time, but there's a day of a different. There's a day of a appointment. There's a day of visitation. There's a day of touch. And the Lord touched him. And the Lord transformed him. Lord, we worship your name.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We have come to the potter's house this morning. And we are the clay. He is the potter. As clay is in the hands of the mighty warrior, the potter, so are we in his hands. Permit the Lord to break, melt, mold, and fill you today. And our lives will never remain the same. With an uplifted right hand, let's declare the meeting open by reading the book of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. the world and all that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his heart to what is false, nor swear deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Oh,
you, Lord Jesus. Let me see you excited in the house of the Lord. Shout hallelujah. We're going to sing this song together and just rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm rejoicing today.
I'm rejoicing today.
I'm rejoicing today.
I'm
I have. I'm not. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we worship you. King of all creation, everlasting Father, we worship you. We glorify thee, Lord. We magnify thee, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be your name, Lord. Our God, our King, we thank you so much. We give you the glory and honor and praise for your mercy. We thank you for your honor. Thank you for what you have been doing from the beginning of this year. Thank you for this season that we are. Thank you for insights you have granted us. And thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the only true God, and being part of your agenda for the end time. We worship and glorify your holy name. Thank you for the grace of the Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of your gift upon our lives. Oh, the spirit of prophecy, we bless your name. We bless your name. We worship you. Thank you for this afternoon. Lord, we enter into eternal knowledge that we may understand what the eternal Father has prepared for us for this season. That will take us into your provision for this week. Thank you for every week you speak. You stretch your hands out among us and you manifest your power. And thank you for this is prophetic week. We give you the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' holy name we are prayed. Say amen. Turn to someone and welcome them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please take your seat in the heavenly places. Let me ask you, are you enjoying God? You know, no. I'm hearing something. Quiet. In your seat. There is nothing that I don't know. God will make a way for you. I can see the rugged path before you made straight. I can see heaven open over you. I can see the things that appeared difficult in the past now made easy. I can see lubrication of heaven, the anointing power of God coming upon your lives that will cause you to glide on the wing like eagle. That breaks through the rock and make way in the sea. I can see the hand of God in prophetic resting upon you, taking you from where you are to where you belong to. I can see hands lifted up in praises unto God. For the things that were difficult have been made easy, and the things that were impossible have been made possible by the Spirit of the Most High God. I can see the hand of God resting upon your spirit, taking you to the place of visions and revelations. I can see angels of God ministering unto you, giving you direction that is specific. I can see a new horizon coming. All starting this week. It is part of the 21 days agenda of the Most High for this house. Father, we bless and glorify your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy name, we are worshiping. Please, let's be seated. You know, God had been moving in this place from the first of this month. I want to say this again to everyone who belong to this family, that first, second, third are covenant days, and the last Friday of the month, try to avoid any meeting in those days. Because the fact is this, any meeting you engage yourself in during that period, the only one that can make it happen is the God who called you. And He's supreme to anything. The race is not meant for the swift. God has given us His sure promise here. And you can't get a better promise. God revealed to us as we enter in this section that 2024 to 27, He will restore wealth and power to the church. This is what the church of God have long waited for. And when God says to you to come for a convocation, it's different from normal service. Convocation is called by God. It's not determined by man. And God will call it because He wants to reveal His glory. And the glory of God takes man from where he is to where he ought to be. You see, it is the mercy of God that can make way for you. When God makes determination concerning you, even the highest powers will honor it. They will look for you and they will give you what you think it does belong to you. And I want you, members of this house, to be very conscious. You know, a lot of things happened within the past 10 days. One thing that happened here was that you will discover that when I came in on the 4th to start the service, I went to prophetic briefly. But when I came in on Tuesday, I went to prophetic very, very much longer time. And on Wednesday, on Friday, I wasn't among you. But God spoke to me that anybody who had epileptic fit will be healed on Friday. I was on the pulpit with ECM. As I picked the microphone to start to teach them, the Holy Spirit came and I began to prophesy for about 30 minutes in ECM. And the Lord reminded me that, you know, did I not say to you I will heal every epileptic on Friday? He says, I'm healing every epileptic. Anybody who had epilepsy who was here on Friday, it is impossible for you to still have that epilepsy. It is totally impossible. You see, the Lord told us in this house few things, you know, that we should expect happening in this season. And some of them happened within the past 10 days. If you look at the news, you will, for those of you who are conscious of it, and I say every Christian now should be very conscious of global occurrences. If you look at the news over this week, some reports were in the news so rapidly and concurrent in every continent, of course. And it's about flood. I think at the beginning of this year, I saw the deep opened and I spoke to you about it. I said I saw a mighty flood hitting the earth. Go and check your video. But you see, why is this thing happening? The occurrences Jesus prophesied in the book of Matthew 24. But scientists picked it up over the past 40 years. And they began to build up this information to people, which they said to us that the polar region are melting. Alright? And because they are melting, of course, they said it's global warming. Some Christians is so strange. They said they don't believe in global warming. It's not a matter of belief. You don't have to believe. The Bible says the earth will age. If you don't have knowledge of science, number one, you don't have the right to say science is not correct. Because you have to study it to now prove to us that that is not correct. The globe is warming. Jesus spoke about that. From the book of Job, he started talking about man tunneling. Every time that the nature is disrupted by man, you don't expect to have good results. When you began to explore and dig deep to bring in fuel, and the fuel in every place they bring it flare fire into the atmosphere. Oh, you think that the fire, there's a giant hoover that hoovers it in the atmosphere? Now, if you keep on burning something, sending fire to something, oh, you think that those things will just remain as they are? No, no, they all have adverse effects. From ordinary basic science of chemistry and physics, they have adverse effects. You will discover that the flood of this week happened by two reasons. There was flood in Kenya, in Africa, there was flood in Latin America, there was flood in America, Texas is flooded, China is flooded, there is flood in Australia, there is flood somewhere in Europe, and flood all over the whole place. Only one of the occurrences we had that the dam busted. Others, no dam. Why is it happening at the same time all over the whole place? When I was watching the flood, I was praying to God to have mercy on the people who live in the region. Jesus said it in the book of Matthew 24. You go and read that from verse 4. Disasters will increase. But verse 22 of Matthew 24 says something significant for this time and the things I want to teach you. It says, maybe we'll read from just one or two verses before that. Yeah. For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now. That now is only that time. And never will be equal. You know, we have been having earthquakes, then we have been having, sometimes we have volcanoes, sometimes we have flood. But there have never been a time in the existence of mankind that you are having all these things happening at the same time. Earthquake in one place, never went down, keep going. Flood in other places, volcanoes in other places, and all these tragedies, wars and rumors of wars mingle together at the same time. It will soon be over, it's not over. Another thing erupts and it builds on one another. Now, the Bible says it. You know, I want you in this house to follow what I teach you. Follow what I teach. I had some encounters of the Father this week. And I share that with you because I'll be sharing it with them. This time, the saints who live on earth this time must not ignore knowledge. You must not ignore knowledge. I think in the book of Daniel, when the Lord was speaking to Daniel in chapter 12, it says, knowledge will increase. It's towards verse 10, 11, 12. Let me get you there. Read from verse 10. It says, many will be purified, made spotless and refined. It's talking about our generation. After talking about the end time. He said, a people will come who their desire will be purity. They will be purified and made spotless. Of course, that is saints of God. When you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, you are spotless before God. But then you will be made purified by fire, which is the Holy Spirit. And it says, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Those who are wise will understand. In verse 3 also, it says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky, of the heavens, and those who lead men to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I love it. It says, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of this scroll until the time of the end. And in verse 4, he ended up by saying, many will go here and there and to increase knowledge. So, end time means seek knowledge. knowledge. I've been speaking throughout yesterday about that. But for you, what you need to understand is this. As a believer, if you are not in cognizance of what is happening around you, rapture will just happen. Boom. You will not know. You will not know it. But it is essential for you who call on the name of the Lord to recognize that when all these things are happening, go back to that Matthew 24. The Bible says there will be great distress, unequal from beginning of time. Or to that time, next verse now says, if those days had not been cut short, no one will survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Now, can I help you understand this? That the problem we are facing on earth today will increase. It's not going to decrease. But also, the rapture would not happen until we manifest. Our manifestation is what we cut short, the time of distress. Because Jesus said in that Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all mankind, and then the end will come. Therefore, as God's people, we must be connected to the voice of the Spirit. We must operate by the wisdom of God. We must operate by the spirit of counsel and knowledge, so that we can take our stand in this season. We are the generation that will bring in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look, today, I want to help you understand something about you that you have ignored. Salvation is this, that the kingdom of God. Somebody accept Jesus Christ. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you become a member of family of God. Yes? When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a member of family of God. Yes or no?
Yes.
I can't hear over there.
Yes.
What about you guys there?
Yes.
So when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Do you have any other ceremony for salvation?
No.
Do you conduct deliverance for someone to be saved?
No.
Come on here, let me hear you here.
No.
So when a man accepts Jesus in his life, into his heart, and ask him to come into his life and be his Lord and Savior, that man shall be saved. Because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. But after you have been saved, I think I need to do this. How many of you are sure you are saved? Raise your hand, let me see. Look all around you. If there is somebody here who worships Shango or worships some chapati idol, they are absent. So now, I want you to first agree with me that you are saved.
Yes.
Are you born again?
Yes.
Say it loud.
Yes.
Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus said, my sheep, hear my
voice.
And the voice? The voice of stranger, they will not? So if Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and he said the voice of stranger, they will not follow, it means there is tendency for the sheep to hear the voice and follow another voice. Yes?
Yes.
For us in CFT, we will follow who? The voice of the Lord. God will deal with some situation in your life tonight, today. So if you are one of them who is disobedient and you are watching me, they are not present here. I hope. Nobody answers me. I said, the one who does not follow the voice of God is not present here.
Yes.
You have to speak for yourself. Come on now. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is that yes? Yes.
Yes.
All right. So together we follow the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If you are there and you are not following the voice of the Lord, join in the bandwagon. I want to help you understand the power in following the voice of the Lord. We have been looking at the life of Jesus and the secret behind the success of Jesus. That is the major thing. What made Jesus successful in the light of us That's what we're exploring into. You know, Jesus was born in Nazareth, and he was born in the family of Joseph. And we recognize by history that that family is the least family, and the clan is the least clan. Really, the town is the least town. Because when Thomas was told about Jesus, or Nathaniel, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth is the place where no good thing come out of it. Talk about every bad thing, that's where it comes from. Why did Jesus choose to be born there? And the poorest among the poor. That he was even born in the manger among animals. But having the mandate to become king of the whole world. The ruler of the earth. Not born in palace. Not born in the rich family of Herod. But chose to be born in the poorest family. And Jesus went from that poverty and fulfilled the destiny of the Savior of the world. We must learn the secret of Jesus Christ. That first of all shows you and I, once you are born again, no power can dictate your height. No power can dictate your life. There is no power under heaven that can hinder or twist or do anything to your life. Because once you are born again, you have become like the Son of God. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8. If you look at Romans chapter 8 verse 28, it says, for those God foreknew, for we know that in all things, God works for what? For the good of who? Read it together, shall we want to go? I looked behind me and I saw my name on the board. Can I say that you don't need to introduce me like that anymore because they know me? Don't you know me? Do you not know me? If you don't know me, you know me now. Hallelujah. So just leave the board for the word of God. Don't put Apostle Williams in that board. Do you know what is written there now?
Yes, sir.
How many of you know it? So let's read it as we know it. And we know that in all things, excuse me, what qualifies you to get this? Love God, isn't it? And call, born again. So once you are born again, you can't come to Jesus to save you when you don't love him. Am I talking with you? So once you are born again, the Bible says there is a knowing you must understand. It does not matter the condition you were born. It does not matter the situation around you. Your God is working. He's working. And he was working for your good. Look at the next verse. Let's read together. What does he say? Those God foreknew, am I in the cathedral?
Yes, sir.
Do we all read English?
Yes, sir.
You want me to put Bagura there? You have spoken tongues. Let's read the scripture of the Lord together, shall we? And who are those?
Me.
Say it loud.
Me.
Say it loud.
Me.
Say it loud.
Me.
You have been in the concept of God from beginning. As an individual. Why did I say that? It says those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. No wonder you went through problems like Jesus went through problems. No wonder you might not have been born in a silver spoon or first spoon in your life. Maybe you were born in a wretched village. It doesn't matter whether you are born in the royal palace or you are born on the streets. Those who accept Jesus have been foreknown by God. He had pre-programmed you that once you get saved, everything changes. You were born by voodoo priests or devils or wizards. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a pre-program for you before you accepted Jesus by the Father. And that pre-program says, once you cross the bloodline, you now enter into a pre-programming to become like Jesus Christ in the full manifestation, full flesh. So, every ability God put in Jesus Christ is inside you. Don't worry if you're not operating it now, because the purpose of this meeting is to help you know how to operate it. But we must agree together on what is written. Don't think about it. Just if it is written, just believe it. So what I'm saying to you is that what the scripture says is that everyone who get born again, God had pre-programmed you before you got saved. And the pre-programming is once you cross the bloodline, boom, you enter into the program of God and you begin to reform and reform and reform and reform and reform and reform. And one day, you have become like Jesus walking on the streets of London. You believe that? Say amen. How? What is the evidence that is true? The evidence is this. Every human being under heaven, it does not matter what you believe in. There is something you cannot have that those who are God's saints have. It's called the Holy Spirit. It does not matter who you believe. It does not matter what God you call. If you are not born of God, you are just flesh and blood. You are just ordinary human being. You cannot change. You know, pre-programming is transforming us, changing us every day into that perfect one, Jesus. And if you look at the book of Luke chapter 4, we've done that on the first, chapter 4 verse 14. Jesus returned the power of the Holy Spirit and the news of him spread. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that spread the news. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that brought the manifestation. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that brought him into fulfillment of destiny. But if you then look at this, this is good. Yeah, that's 29. Those he foreknew, he pre-programmed to conform to the likeness. Now, what is Jesus? The beginning of Jesus Christ, there is something that manifested and immediately in his life, right through. You will agree with me that there are two factors in Christ that made Jesus what he was or what he is today. It's the power of the word and prayer. The power of the word and prayer. Let me show you this. If we go to the book of Matthew, you can write this down. Matthew chapter 4 verse 3 and verse 4. It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. Shall we read verse 4 together, please? Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Stop. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Say the word. Come on, say the word. There are three significant things that will help you understand the word can do for you. The word of God should be your life. The word of God should be your breath. Man can do nothing, I'm talking about man and God, except by the word of God. When Jesus Christ manifested at the age of 30 and Satan came to tempt him, the reply of Jesus to the devil is this: man shall not live by bread of man alone, but by the word of God. Come on, let me say this here, therefore. I think we can understand that as bread is necessary for the flesh, the word is the food for the spirit. Is that not correct? As life is nothing without the bread, and the body of man will die if it doesn't have the bread. So the body of a believer, the soul of a man, will die if it doesn't have the word. The word to the soul is like the bread to the body. And it says, daily. Every word that comes from the mouth of God, keep that. So if I speak the word of God, who is speaking? It's God. Look, Prince Charles said to his servant, go to Trafalgar Square and tell everybody that you meet in Trafalgar Square, come to the palace, the gate is open for you. Now, the servant went to Trafalgar Square. Hey guys, come to the palace, the gate is open. Whose word is he speaking? It's the king's word. It's the king's word. The king's word, therefore, carries the authority of the king. If that word is attached to a promise, that promise cannot be broken. If the word, by Charles says, if you come in, you become an OBE. The first 10 who come in automatically become the MBE. You only need to fulfill the word, and that's it. That's it. The word of God is the bond of God. God bind himself by his word. God says his word and says to you, this is my word for you. You dare it and see what I will do. God cannot deny his word. Therefore, a man that has the word of God in his mouth on earth, nothing can be denied of him. Let me show you a few guys. Jesus was walking and he had the cry of a man called Bartimaeus, and the cry was, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard, he said, call the man. And the man came, he appeared to be blind. And Jesus said, oh, brother, what do you want me to do for you? Because a blind man may ask for money. Because I have mercy on me, did not say, heal me from blindness. Just do something for me. Jesus said, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, see. And instantly, eyes manifest. He was able to see, was healed. His word. Jesus went with Jairus in the same chapter 5, and he got to a place where they said the baby was dead. And Jesus said to the one who was dead, she sleeps. And the people who knew she was dead laughed. I want you all to understand, because you are going to begin to exercise it from today. He said, the dead sleeps. Twice he said it. When Lazarus was dead, he said, Lazarus sleeps. Then the disciples say, then let's go and wake him up. And he says, because you don't understand spiritual yet, because you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, the people in the world, that's how they can understand the spiritual things. You have a friend who is in the world, you talk about spiritual things, they can't understand it. You don't have to worry them. It is really strange to be telling somebody who is not God, the Holy Spirit, about spiritual things. He's wasting your time. He can't understand it. His understanding is always carnal. As I say, if he sleeps, we'll go wake him up. He said, how long will I be with you guys? Look, let me tell you in your own language, not my language. He is dead. That's the language of the world. Okay, so then, he got to the girl. He called the name and said, get up. And the woman get the girl, get up. He got to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. I explained to you on the force, the chemistry of what happened. This is a decomposed body. And Jesus said to the decomposed body, he spoke to him as somebody sitting down. You know, he gave him the command of somebody who has life and is sitting down. He said, come up, and that's it. In the book of John chapter 5, Jesus went to Bethesda, and he saw a good number of sick people there, the lame and the blind. He went to a man who had the worst condition there. The man was paralyzed, even more than paralysis. He was invalid. He was invalidated. Paralyzed, whatever the case may be in our time now. Both brain and body twisted together, the legs, everything dead. And Jesus said to the man, pick your pallet, stand up, pick your pallet, and go home. And every deformity vanished, not gradually. The man who was twisted over, bent over, crippled and stuff like that, all right? When Jesus says, stand up, he did not help him. The man got up as nothing happened to him. All right? Then the man picked his pallet on his head and he went home. And people are amazed. People are amazed. Somebody brought the paralytic and they opened the roof, pushed the man down. When they dropped him before Jesus Christ, Jesus said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. And the people said, who is the man who can forgive sin? And he said, you are just seeing the man who has the power to forgive, to condemn and cast to hell. Not just forgive sin. He will forgive, he will judge, and he will send to hell. Then he said to the man, stand up. And before the eyes of those who are accusing him for forgiving sin, the man stood up. He didn't say, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Before he stood up, he went into the church and he saw a person who was demon possessed. And suddenly the demon spoke. He said, be quiet, come out of him. And the demon came out. He didn't say, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And the demon is struggling and causing sin in the church, jumping from pew to pew because he wants to come out of the man. I'm talking about the word of God. The word of God. What about if we look at other people like him and be like us? There was a man called Elijah. And then a woman came to Elijah in chapter 4 of 2 Kings. And the woman said, you know, my husband is dead. He's a prophet. And he's your friend. But he left debts. And the creditors have come to take the whole of my family away for, you know, as debtors. And he said to the woman, what do you have? The woman said, I have nothing. We are poor. He said, you must have something. He said, yes, we have one little vase of oil. When you read the stories of the Bible, sometimes you don't use your rational mind to understand it. But you have to understand it by your rational mind for you to understand the spiritual implication. This will have a little vase of oil. Elijah said to the woman, go borrow barrels, but not a few. Yes? Go borrow barrel, but not a few. Hallelujah. So, what do I do? Shut the door. No interference. Okay? But only you and your little oil and the empty barrels. Then what do? Pour, he said. Okay? I don't understand how that woman can conceive in her natural mind that she was sensible to do those things. But it's something you must know. The word of God does not manifest because of what is. It manifests because of what is not. And bring what is not to what should be. That's the word of the living God. So she locked, she borrowed barrels from all the friends. Maybe some friends will have been saying that, what do you want to do with empty barrel? Okay, carry, carry it. I don't have the need of it. Just carry my load, carry everything. I want to even throw it away. And then that empty barrel that should be thrown away, she locked up herself and she began to pour. Understand that a little vase of oil, by our knowledge of science, when you open the mouth and you are pouring it, the pressure that will come out of that little vase is very small. But you want to feel big barrel. So it means that something happened. When she drops when the drop comes out of the nozzle of the bottle, something happened downward. It just rose like a mighty pressure. All right? Because if the woman was to just be filling it with small nose like that, it would take her days or months to fill. But something happened. Same day, barrel one filled up. Second filled. If you were the woman and you just took empty barrel and you are putting like this, before you are thinking that, how long will this be filled up? And you look and it's filled up. And you went to the next one and it's filled up. You went to the second, third one, it's filled up. I'm sure that you will begin to say, how I wish. And then the second one. And when all barrels were full up, the Bible says the flow ceased. Elijah did not repeat his word. He didn't tell it to stop. He just said, pause. Isn't it? Listen to me. When Jesus went to party, and he said to Jesus Christ that, you know, we run out of wine. The mother said, whatever he says, do it. And so, Jesus said, okay, go get water, pour into the barrels. And they poured the water. He came and said, Master, we have filled the barrel with water. He said, draw the wine. He didn't say, draw the water. Oh, they went, and behold, when they drew the water, it was wine. What he called it is what it becomes. Excuse me. I'm talking about the Word of God. What the Word can be. What you can use the Word to achieve. I'm talking about. What about Elijah? Let me give you this, the case of Elijah. Elijah, you know, was fed up of the insanity of Jezebel. That, you know, this country is too much of idols and stuff like that. And he said, look, there shall be no dew or rain except by my word. If Elijah thought as a human being, he dare not say that. Is it your father who controls rain? That's what they will ask him. Okay? He just said, there will be no dew or rain. And he went. It is after he spoke, the word of the Lord came to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Now, read the whole story. You know what happened? When he said, there shall be no dew or rain, except by my word. Elijah would have thought, I'm a sinner. He didn't think so. He would have thought, will God hear me? He didn't think so. Do you know what gave Elijah the authority? He said, the God whom I serve. He said, there will be no dew or rain in this place until I say so. But I say so in my capacity as a servant of God. Not in my perfection, not because I'm perfect, but because I serve the God who is perfect, and in his name I say, I serve him. No dew or rain except by my own word. As the Lord lives whom I serve. Listen to me. I'm sure that the king will have felt that this is the talk of a stupid man. Of course. But the first month there was no rain. Second month there was no rain in the nation. Third month there was no rain. Fourth month there was no rain. First year no rain. That was when he probably began to wake up that we are going to die here. Where is this man? And they began to look for him. They will pass him, but they will not recognize he is the one. By the word of God. Because God told him where to go, he went there and he was drinking while everybody was starving. Listen to me. I'm talking about the word of God. I will tell you one more. The Spirit of God told me to tell you this. When the time is over, he came. He says, go tell that man I'm here. And the servant said, who knows where the Spirit will. I'm talking about the word of the living God. A man that lives by the word is a man of mystery. Hello. He now said, gather all the bad prophets. They all gathered. 1,000 prophets against one prophet. He said to them, this is what we're going to do. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. You know, there is something in these people I'm talking about that you need to learn. They speak on God's behalf without asking for God's permission. Am I talking to you? They spoke on the behalf of God. They said things that must be. And then the God who sent them performed it. Why? Don't you recognize that these people have relationship with God? Don't you recognize that they are not people who pray because there is problem? Can you not see that people who have fellowship with the Lord, relationship with God, to the place whereby they can speak on behalf of their friend, and their friend will do it? I told you that the Lord was discussing with me, it was 2 days ago, I suppose, that he said to me that, he said, you all recognize me as your father. So the Lord just taught us when we want to pray, we say, our father. I said, yes. He said, but do you recognize me as your father? And it clicked on me. Oh, Lord, yes. He said, go tell my people. Personalize me as your father. He said, what gives you confidence is because you approach me as your father. And that is true. That is true. You look at it, most times when we talk to God like he's a distance person. And you talk to your father as if you are intimate. Just talk anything about you with your father. But to God, there are some things you don't want to talk to him, isn't it? Because you think that he is our father. Change your concept. And talk to him like your father. He is your father. He wants you to know that he is your father. Apart from the fact that he is our father, he is your father as our father, he is your father too. You know when Elijah brought them together, they did all what they could do. Fire didn't come. And he said, okay, that's all right. In the evening, if you read the context, you will understand further. In the evening sacrifice, I said, okay, that's okay now. I said, now, you guys have been praying from morning. I will just speak a word, something will happen. Fire will come. Wow, okay, let's see. And he repaired the altar. Let me tell you something, God's children. You are worth more than what you think you are. Your heart is the altar of God. For the God of fire to answer by fire, it must be on the premise of the old altar of God, which is called righteousness. If your heart is filled with garbage, holy fire cannot come on a defiled altar. Your body is the temple of God. Your heart belongs to the Father. But Satan also is seeking that heart. Your flesh is seeking that heart. Go and listen to my lecture on Monday, on the 1st and 2nd. He repaired the altar. Somebody says that this is old school. In Christianity, don't you understand? Old school is better than the new school, even in your country. In the old school, they don't stab people. In your new school now, are they not stabbing people? Teaching people, children, homosexual, no, to become like animal is legitimate in your new school now. Old school, they don't do that. Everybody is taught the fear of God. Everybody is taught to recognize the dignity of man. Boys respect girls. Girls respect boys. Don't touch them anyhow. That's what they teach in old school. When old school changed to new school, they began to teach nonsense. Satan too began to become lecturer. Yeah? Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
Is the same Christ yesterday, today,
forever?
Jesus was a youth. At 12, Jesus went to temple at 12 and discussed the word of God. Same today. Same today. The God of the Bible does not change. If you don't serve in the Bible way, you cannot encounter the Bible power. Full stop. I'm going to tell you one thing to close my meeting with you today. But I want you to first understand. You are more than what you think you are. Satan does not want you to be what God wants you to be. But you have the capacity to be it. It's faith in the Lord. It's faith in the Lord. And a man of faith is a man of obedience. The heart that will produce faith is the altar that is sanctified. Anything that will affect your confidence in God, you better just stop it. Garbage it. You had enough of mess with the devil. Come on now. That man now said, oh God of our fathers. Before he finished praying, fire came down from heaven. Because he has spoken. The God that answers by fire. God will not put you to shame if you don't put him to shame. He will stand by you if you can stand by him. He will speak on your behalf if you can speak on his behalf. He's a jealous God. But very easy God. He's fair, isn't it? He's very, very fair. The word of God. Jesus went further to talk to us about the word. If we look at John chapter 14 from verse 12. Well, I will not dwell on that. I will just give you reflection on this. And I will tell you what emerged from yesterday's discussion in Euro for Christ. If you look at that scripture, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. That's an undertaking. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me of anything in my name. Hello? Who is God talking to? Who is Jesus talking to? Hey, listen to me. Today, I come to announce to you, anything you permit in your life is what can stay. Anything you don't permit will never remain. Look around your life. What are the happenings that is happening around you that is not of God? You're going to deal with it this week. You will deal with it this week. Jesus said this. But you understand that he began by talking about faith. I won't teach you that today because our time is far spent. And we'll go into that next time. Faith in me. Faith is trust and confidence in God. Trust and confidence in God. He said, if you have faith in me, you do what I mean. And greater shall you be. Say, you ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to verse 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. Everyone who asks, present continuous tense, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. Then to everyone who seeks, he shall find. And to those who knock, the door shall... Let's read it, this verse together. For everyone
who seeks, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Read it again.
For everyone who asks, he seeks, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Okay, let's read it to verse 12. Shall we? Yes. I want you to read verse 12.
So.
So what has that to do with asking? I will show you. But let me explain asking and receiving, and then we will stop. There are three dimensions here that Jesus spoke about. Ask, and he said asks. The second one, knocks. And the third one, seeks. Many Christians and many non-Christians, that is churchgoers. In church, we have Christians and we have churchgoers. Many of them only go to God to ask when there is a problem. The difference between people like that is that they do not fall into this covenant. Because this covenant talks about people who talk to God all the time. Ask. Pray all the time. Not because you have problems. Not because you have issues. Those who talk with God, all right, we hear from God. Those who seek God will be given visions and directions in God. And those who continue to knock the door of God's heart, God will always open his heart to them. I want you to think about yourself. Now, who do you seek? Who do you ask from? Which doors have you knocking? Some knock the door of trouble. They are married. If there is no trouble in their house, that is their peace. Trouble must happen. That is peace for them. They must give their spouse headache. For them, there's no family. Some maltreat their children. Some disobey their parents. Every act of man knocks a door. And when your act knocks the door shall be open. A man who knocks the door and the door is of trouble will never receive peace. A man who knocks the door of worldliness will never receive God. Whatever you seek is what you get. And of course, you can only seek one thing at one time. You cannot seek God and seek the devil. It's not possible. It's not possible. I want you to know this. Young ones, your tenor of youth is not different from any youth tenor. Some people say that, oh, you don't know what's happening in our time. It's a lie. It's a lie. We passed through it. Jesus passed through it. Josiah was six, was king at six. Uzziah was king at 16. And I can tell you many others. Joseph was tempted at 17. Into adultery, and he passed. He didn't touch the beautiful woman, though she was beautiful, but demonic beautifully. He was beautiful to a fault and full with demons to a faulted. He only needed to do it once, and his destiny is gone. Just one touch, destiny lost. At 17. Is that not? At least I'm a youth.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me now? Don't let the devil lie to you. Our time is different from their time. It's not. Can I say something to you now? Whatever you turn your face to seek is what you find, isn't it? Some of you now, you are here, growing here, running all over the whole place. Now you are doctors, you are lawyers, you are engineers, you are business tycoons, and you now command money. You are now directors of, because you sought it. What you seek is what you find. If you seek trouble, you find trouble. If you seek God, you find God. I want you in CFT, and that's what you are. Be seeker of God. From your youth age, remember the Lord thy God in the days of thy youth. If you can seek God, you will find God. If you can pray to God, He will answer you. But you understand, Elijah said, as the Lord lives, whom I serve, not on Sundays. Others are praying in church, you are doing something else. Don't you think about dying day? That when a man dies, he can't come back to now seek God again. And we can die in a minute. Young die, old die, middle die. And those who will die tomorrow, don't put it in their face today. Listen to me. Don't let the devil deceive you. What you seek is what you find. Now, I finish with this. In ECM yesterday, they asked a question. Me a question. One of many questions, of course. But there's a question they asked me that I said I will share with you before I leave today. Because I'm going there now. Somebody wrote a question to me and said, Apostle, there are some of us who are grown up. We are grown to the age of marriage, but we don't have husband. What shall we do? You know, it's true. The pressure people around them give them, if you are not sensible, it will drive you mad. But this is it. Let me tell you this before I tell you further. For you to marry at a young age into trouble, or to marry late in life into a union of peace, which one is better? Answer me, church.
Peace. No, peace.
They ask us concerning, I'm married, I'm waiting for fruit of the womb. for you to have children at your early age when you have not fully formed in career life. So that you have a lot of troubles that with the, you have to give those children attention and take care of them. And because of that, you cannot progress in academic because somebody must be at home to be taking care of the children. But you don't have the children. But then God is progressing you in your career field, and you get to your 40s before you have children. Which one is better? Let me tell you, the one who got the children late and have fully been successful will be able to give that children the best training for two reasons. Number one, they are solid financially, they are not struggling, and they are matured as human. Listen to me. So whether you have children young or old is not relevant. If you don't have it young, you will still have it. If you are a God seeker, He will fix you up. Your time will be better if only you serve Him. Amen. You have no anxiety about marrying young or old, because marriage is not a thing you put your head and run out. It's better not to run in and stay alone with peace and enjoy life and succeed in life, in God and career, than to step your head into a noose of fire. You're being single, you live better than the married. If you love God, and God will increase you in capacity of career. But what about if God gave you your partner at a young age? Glory be to Him. The two will forge a better future. That's the real person. If you meet young, and that's the person God gave you, what will happen to you is that your potentials coming together will give you a better progressive life. Excuse me. Is Apostle talking sense?
Yes, sir.
I've been with my wife 51 years. Excuse me. And that's what I will end up with. I told them. We met early, but my father-in-law said no marriage. So which is better? Not to meet at all until you are older, so that when you meet, you marry. Than to meet and haven't you been recognized? Father-in-law said no marriage. So when he said no marriage, we said, well, we have to pray. We prayed. 79, we bought wedding gown, bought wedding suit. By faith. But married day, father said no. So our friends bought the wedding gown and bought the wedding suit for peanuts. And they had good wedding. 1980. We bought wedding gown. I bought wedding suit. Mommy flew to, he bought some in Italy. Some he bought them in America. Pronuncia here, when pronuncia was still sensible. Tiara, is it tiara they call it? That tiara, they wear, the women wear, is not tiara. Is it tiara? You call it tiara. Why are you looking at me? As if I don't, I'm speaking some strange language. And somebody, one of the friends, the father said no, a friend's father who said yes, bought the tiara, bought the wedding suit, and we attended their wedding. Now they have children, their children are growing up. And you know we are there. Then 1981, another tiara with wedding suits and wedding gown. I know when mommy buys this wedding gown, she will bring the catalog, pronuncia catalog. You will see several wedding with silver, beautiful, and the cape, you know. And I will have been in the vision seeing my wife walking the aisle with this wedding suit, you know. I have seen it. People rejoicing and clapping, and then by faith, on the wedding, towards the wedding day, father-in-law said, no. all family said, that 81, that, let us leave this man. My senior brother-in-law said, I am the father. When he die, he will soon die and go. I am the father. And he said to me, my mother-in-law said, he took me to her own uncle, who gave her to the father. And the uncle had given me right hand of fellowship. I paid dowry already. I said, we'll carry on. But I said, we must ask the father. And the father said, no. So at that time, I said to my wife, no more buying clothes. Let me seek the face of God. I was a youth like some of you. I was in my 20s. Let me seek the face of God. Your youth age is not different from my youth age. I had friends who love the world, who do whatever they like. I singled myself out from among them to seek the face of the Lord. That's where I'm going. When I started my journey of prayer, about 20 something days, an angel appeared to me. What are you seeing in your own dream? Where do you turn your heart to? I told you when I was in university, Jesus appeared to me, showed me question paper, and solved the answer. And I got 100% in mathematics. In the university, 100 in photogrammetry, I got 104%. The lecturer said that 4 is for level 5. I was a student in my teenage. In my teenage age, some of my friends impregnated girls then. They sleep with them under the flower. Is the same thing happening with you? It's in the book of Solomon. So don't say to me that, oh, our time is different. It's not different. Your youth age is not different. I singled out to seek the God of Jacob. He does not care whether you are young or old. Whoever turns to the Lord, he will find the Lord. He will find the Lord. You parents who just help your children into all this lavishness, so you better stop it. Turn the face of your children to seeking God. Apostle William, I was not an apostle, I was not a pastor, I was a member, I was a youth. And Jesus took me to heaven. When we went to heaven, Jesus appeared and received me from the angel, and he took me to a place where the file of human life was kept. Every human has file there. Whether I believe it or not, when you die, you will see it. He brought my file out, and he showed me when I was born. I saw my mother in labor give birth to me. Every day of my life I grew, he showed me my life, myself. To the day I told my wife now, which was for wife to be, they call, let me seek the Lord. To the day that he appeared to me, he now said, let us see other days. And he showed me the whole of 81, 82, what will happen to me in my life. Then 83. And 83, he got to the month of March. And he said, next month is your wedding. Don't you understand? You can't go before your time and have peace. If you do anything before your time, you will struggle in life. So, if you are waiting and you have not been approached by any man, as long as you are serving God faithfully, that's the question mark. Yours is on the way. God has time for everybody. Some people have time for them to marry at 18. They could marry. You have many of them marrying at 18 in England. And they do a 70th year wedding anniversary. And they still love one another. It is God's doing. If you rush it to marry before your time, you will carry wrong bone. It is a wrong marriage that you start to fight day and night. It is wrong. If you step into the right person God gave you, you will, not that you have differences, but your differences will brushen you up. You will have full support from your husband. You will have full support from your wife. Anything that is success to you is what your spouse will want you to get. And he will put all his energy and strength into it. As you put into her, that's how we succeed in life. Because you have married the right person.
Amen.
The right person. But you see, the right person have their timing. They have their timing. Let me tell you this. The Lord now told me, what is day? And I said, it is. I said, I think this wristwatch is for old people. Yeah, whenever I shout, he phone the SOS. And if I don't quickly stop him, SOS will locate me where I am. He's asking me, did you fall? And if I didn't say I did not fall, he will just send message that an old man is fall there. They've gone, before you know it, they surround this house looking for, they will locate me. AI, God deliver you. I think I better remove this one from my hand. When I finish, give it to me. Now listen to me, I'm almost finished. So, and the Lord revealed to me the date of my wedding. I told him the date, and he said, that's the date. And I was excited, because I'm a young man who is crazy for knowledge. I so in the presence of the Lord too, I was still saying that, I got it right. And he said, no, here, you can't get it wrong when I'm here. He said, anytime you are in my presence, you can't get it wrong. But that taught me also that, why can't I invoke his presence all the time in my physical world? And give me knowledge. And it's my premise. So he said, let's go. He showed me the hall I will use. He showed me the whole procession of my wedding. That's why we hired that hall. That hall we wedded is like Royal Albert Hall in Lagos. Global Hall. So, when Jesus showed this to me, and then he told the angel, take him back. When I came back, can you imagine how joyous some people say? Yeah. How celebrating I was. Oh my. No more buying clothes in Italy, and somebody in Japan is using it for wedding. Wow. That day I couldn't wait. I called my dad and my mom. Said the Lord visited me. My dad said, okay, tell me what you saw. I told my dad. My dad said, well, that's his son, I told you. If you seek him, you find him. You got it. I couldn't wait for my wife to come. She came. I said, this is what I saw. And so, shared it with all my in-laws, my brother-in-law. As far as they are concerned, that they are not born again there. They just want their sister to go into the house. So, we now started planning. You know, 81, so we don't buy anything in 82. So we now plan for 2 years. And then got the things that, you know, and then booked the hall 2 years ahead. Because that hall, if you don't book it, it's always, if government use it, everybody use it. Listen to me. On the day of our wedding, 7 days to my wedding, my father-in-law she said no. And the pastor said, this is 7 days to your wedding. If your father-in-law say no, I cancel the wedding. And I told the pastor, it's not possible because the King of Heaven revealed that day. So we bought everything that my father-in-law will use, what my parents will use, what our parents will use, all what we need. We had 2 years easily to build everything, acquired, got our flat, furnished it, get ready to move in. We did everything, not by faith now, but by the sight of revelation. On the seventh day, I went to my father's house, my father-in-law's house, and asked him, let me drive you to the pastor. He said, no, I won't take your car. Hello? You know, when God said to Elijah, I have commanded the widow of Zarephath. Yes? When Elijah got to the widow had not heard in her ear. But God is spirit, he speaks to human spirits. And when Elijah asked the widow said, are you a stranger in the land? Nobody has food. I have only last meal. I and my children die. My child eat and we die. So God has spoken to my father-in-law's spirit, but it hasn't come to him. And he got to the pastor. He went with my wife to the pastor. When they got to the pastor, The pastor said, ah, welcoming him. My wife told me. He said, Baba, look at me. Say no, I cancel the wedding. Say, do you want your daughter to marry this man? His head went down. Everybody keep quiet. And then when he raised his eyes up, tears was going down his eyes. He said, yes. Why did he say yes? Deep calls to deep. Why did my father-in-law say, don't marry my daughter? He said, he's a Yoruba man. I am Urubu. He said, I don't want you to fall into the hands of people who will torture and punish you. Because the Yoruba people he knew have been treating their wife badly. Unfortunately, the Urubu people, my father too knew, they were treating their wife badly. What they have not seen is somebody, though he was born Urubu, but he is born again.
Hallelujah.
He may be born Yoruba, but he is a child of God.
Hallelujah.
There is a distinction between those who serve him and those who do not serve him. Can you see clash of chaos over my marriage? Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. So when my father-in-law came back that 7 days, he couldn't talk to me. And when we were going, he said to me, son, we are having the wedding. And within 1 week, we put things together. On the 7th day, which was my wedding anniversary, after all he said and done, the man didn't hate me. He was only fighting for his right. Let me tell those of you who are married, your wife is the child of somebody. They own her. Your husband is the child of somebody. You may claim husband, wife, but the owner is the parents. Hello? I think everybody should like me now. Okay? My mother-in-law is a problem. That problem gave birth to your husband or wife. It's a problem you will love. You will chew and swallow. Am I talking to you? You can't pick a child and throw the father, mother out. You do that, your children too that you gave birth to will throw you out. Because as time endures, seed time, harvest time will not cease. Are you here?
Yes,
very well here with your body?
Yes,
you went to a church, they said that your mother-in-law is a witch. That's the reason why you are born again. Go to her and tell her, Mama, are you a witch? You say, I'm a witch. Okay, today, I will remove the witchcraft. You must love her and hate the witch. If you are truly born of God, your job is to remove the witchcraft from her, peacefully, in love, clean her up, get her filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? He gave birth to your husband or your wife. Excuse me. If you truly love a woman, if the wife, the mother is a witch, you will love that woman and remove the, if you are claiming you are born again. If you can't do that, don't make mistake to die. Because if you die, only God will probably have to send you back that you didn't finish your work, go back. If God loves you, to enter paradise. Excuse me, somebody. On the 7th day, the man who had refused me for 10 years, on the 7th day, when we wedded, as I picked up the microphone and I thanked them in their dialect, he got up from the high table. He defied the high table. He came to me where I was speaking with my microphone, and he carried me with all his heart. I led him to Christ. He got born again. He slept in the Lord in my hand. Listen to me. So, if somebody is in my shoes, I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Whoever seeks God, find God. Whoever asks God, receives from God.
To whoever knocks, the door is open. Remember, it depends on the door you are knocking. You will leave this place today and knock the door of peace. It shall be open to you. You will knock the door of prosperity. It shall be open unto you. You will knock the door of favor. It shall be open unto you. Any door you knock, God will direct your hand. Those of you who knock door of trouble, God will shut that door. You will not go and be trouble to anybody in his life. You see, that's the last verse you read. For everyone... No. Go to the last verse. 12. Thank you so much. Go to 12. So in everything, do to others what you will have them do to you. Why did Jesus end up with that? Because you understand that if you give people trouble, you can never reap peace. Hello? You know why apostles love everybody? I want to walk and swim in love, man. I have harvest of love. From every one of you, I love you, I get harvest of love. I love you, I get... I don't love you because of your behavior. Your behavior may not be loving. It may not be lovable. But I understand Jesus that, is it everything I do that is good for him? No, I'm a man. Jesus separate me from my misbehavior and still love me. But I will not deliberately go and do what is wrong. But the limitation we have as men is this. Even those of you who do what is wrong, when we want you, you go and do what is your own heart. We still have to love you. I separate that misconduct from you. But I will confront you. You know that apostle now. I will not be so. I will confront you. I will confrontation you. Papa. Hallelujah, somebody. Because when it's good for you, it's good for me. I want to leave you in the peace of God. Check your life. Check the doors you knock. Check what you are asking God. And check what you are seeking after. Turn everything to the Lord Jesus. We will make it better tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Rise up on your feet and lift up your voice unto God and give God glory for this hour. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his honor. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his love for you. Just leave that verse 8. That whatever we ask, he will do. We ask, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to he who knocks, the door is open unto him. Lift up your voice and thank God for the authority of God that resides in your lips. Somebody will dispose the devil today. Lord, we bless your holy name. We give you the praise and honor and glory. We exalt and magnify your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now begin to tell the Lord anything that can hinder you in prayer, the Lord will take it out of you. You have authority of God. God wants your word to be his bond. Tell the Lord anything in you that can hinder you from operating the authority of heaven, that the Lord will take it out. That God, the Holy Spirit, will send his fire and destroy rebellion in your heart. And filter out of you anything that is not of God. Tell the Lord, send your fire into my heart. Send your fire into my mind. Send your fire into my body. And destroy everything the devil has planted in me. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tell the Lord, I want to operate in your authority and power. Elijah was a man like us, the book of James says. He prayed earnestly that there be no rain, and there was no rain. He said again, rain come, and rain came. Father, anoint me with fresh oil. Tell the Lord. The spirit of faith, authority of the word of God. Tell God, help me to be patient with you. Oh, Father God. The Lord, I want to operate in your power. Anything you say is bound to be. Yes. Anything
everything you say. When you seek God, you must have vision, not nightmares. Tell the Lord, you heard my testimony. It's not my old testimony. Up to now, before you, God is still revealing things to me. Jesus is still visiting me. He can do so to you. It is turning your heart to Him and seeking His face. That is who you are. He is your Father and you are His child. Tell the Lord, open my eyes and open my ears. Give me insight. Help me. Tell God to take away every anxiety from you. You will wait for your time. Your time will not bypass you. Anything you are waiting God for. It will come in God's own time. Ability to seek God and to love God. Tell the Lord to give to you. You want to serve Him with all your heart. You want to love Him with all your heart. Tell the Lord, you are over with the devil. You are over with the world. You want to seek God now. Over with any gimmicks of Satan. No, you want to seek God. You want to seek God. You want to be a friend of God. You want to love God with all your heart. Enough of trouble with people. Fight with this, fight with that. Finish. You want to work in love with every man. You want to treat everybody as you want them to treat you. You want to respect people so that you can be respected too. Every attitude that gets rude to other people, you want them to be out of you. Humility. Because you are older does not mean you oppress the younger. Because you are younger does not mean you should respect the older. Tell the Lord to grant you the heart, the understanding, the mind, grace. Oh Lord, my God. Father, we pray thee. In Jesus' anointed name we have prayed. Lord, I commit all your sins to you that are under my voice at this hour. Your word is true. He said, ask, seek, knock. For he who continuously asks, we have continuous reply. And to he who seeks you continuously, you will share the secret of your heart with them. And to those who knock, no matter how difficult the door before them is, they are knocking, we open the door. So Lord, today we knock to the door of your heart. Let your heart be poured over everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we seek your presence. Let it be felt by everyone in the name of Jesus. We seek your love. That you pour your love in our hearts. Lord, help these people to understand that we can only seek you when we are physically alive. So that we can prioritize you above every other thing. So that we can achieve what you have ordained with ease. Even Lord, as you have promised us success, which you are doing in the physical. So also that we will prosper in the spiritual. Manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. The nine gifts of the Spirit. The gift of knowledge. The gift of wisdom. The gift of discernment. The gift of faith. The gift of healing. And the gift of prophecy. Tongues and interpretation of tongues and discernment of spirit. That it shall be manifest in every soul in this house. That we'll go to the streets and cast out devils and set the captives free. We will go in our offices and operate with the word of knowledge. And through the word of knowledge, many will come to the knowledge of Christ in our offices. We will not withdraw sharing gospel with our business partners. You will open the door for us to share with them about the love of God. And you will open their heart to accept it in the name of Jesus. Every height you take us to will be an opportunity to reach the people in that height for the Lord Jesus. You will grant us the eloquence and the wisdom and the intellect and the knowledge to communicate the gospel. We will depopulate the kingdom of hell. While your kingdom will be exalted. King of all creation, we worship you. I thank you for healing every sick. I thank you for the success you have pronounced upon this house for this week. From beginning of this meeting. And I thank you for the manifestation that is out for us in our first to 21 days of the month of May. We give you the praise and honor and glory.
In Jesus' holy and anointed name we are prayed. May the Lord bless your week. May the Lord cause his light to shine along your path. In this week, you will have success in every area of life. In this week, you will testify. So shall it be unto you, and so it is. In Jesus' holy and anointed name we are prayed. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please be seated. I would like to welcome visitors myself before the announcement, the offering, and then the announcement. Anyone that is worshiping with us for the first time, if you are coming to this sanctuary for the first time, could you wave your hands? Anybody? Is anyone coming in? You invited a friend? Please, could you rise up and let's welcome you. Please, can you stand up? Let's welcome them. Yes, you are very welcome. You are very, very welcome.
You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome to Christ's tabernacle. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you in Christ's
Yes, you are very, very welcome to Christ's Faith Tabernacle. The pack handed over to you, we have a 4 minutes. Please fill the form and drop that with us. But the rest of the pack is for you just to be acquainted with what we are, who we are, and what we do. Please be seated. The one who will announce will update you with resources available for you. This is a church that believes in the development of spirit, soul, and body of everyone that comes into the house. The Lord strengthen you. Can we have an offering, please?
In time, offering time, it's time to bring our tithe and offering before the Lord. I read from Malachi chapter 3. From verse 10, it reads, "Bring the old tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room, enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Let's bring our tithes before the Lord this morning. Whatever God has laid on your heart, please give cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're a taxpayer, please complete the blue envelope. If you're still paying your tithes or your offering with the envelopes, if you're a non-taxpayer, please complete the green envelopes. And we have the accounts displayed on the screen, please. I'll give you some time to do that. Shall we rise, please? Let's bow our head and then let's commit our tithe and offering before the Lord. Father, we thank you, we bless you. We give you glory, we give you honor, the giver of life, the giver of strength, the giver of hope. We thank you, O God, for the ability to produce wealth, for the covenant you made with our Father. Father, we thank you for this that you have done for us today. We thank you, God, we can come into your presence with a cheerful heart to give into your kingdom this morning. Father, we exalt you today, O God. Thank you, O God, for your promises, your covenant promise that will be fulfilled in every life, in every household, in every family, concerning our finance, O God, in this season. the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God of provision. You have promised us wealth and power. So shall it be in every life. So shall it be in every family. So shall it be in every household in this season. Lord, there will be no needy person amongst us. You will meet everyone's needs in this season, O God. The God of wonders, O God, as we go into our journey this week, my God, doors of favor will open unto us. Doors of blessing will open unto us. Concerning our businesses, concerning those interviews, concerning those job applications, concerning your promotion. For that which heaven has mandated for Christ's faith tabernacle, your portion will not be missed in the name of Jesus. You will find favor before God and man. Lord, you open the storehouse of your blessing and send rain upon the works of our hands, O God. Father, we pray, my God. We pray thee, O God. We pray thee, O God, we would lend to nation and borrow for none. Christ's faith tabernacle, your gates will stand open. Your gates will stand open day and night in this season, O God. God, we elevate you. God, we promote you. God, we elevate you. God, we promote you. The mandate, the budget God has given us for the vision 2027, begin to manifest. Begin to manifest. Begin to manifest in every life, in every family, in every businesses that God has placed in our hands in this season, O God. You will flourish. You will flourish. You will flourish. You will be called Eziba. You will be called Belia in the name of Jesus. My God, as you promised, O God, so shall you live to enjoy the fruits of your labor. As you labor, so shall you enjoy the wealth. And you bring the wealth into the house of God. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We exalt your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to give our offering rejoicing. The Lord has poured out grace. He's brought out a refreshing of power on us. And we give him all the praise. Hallelujah. Amen.
Down the mountain, the river flows, and it brings refreshing wherever we go.
We'll come back first. Hallelujah. We'll sing the river of God. Set our
nourish me.
Hallelujah.
Indeed, the river is here. Lord, your river will fill our life with joy and laughter in this season of wonders in our lives. This is the holy offering that is brought by your holy people. Come down, O God, and consume this holy sacrifice. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please be seated.
Church. Good afternoon. God bless you. We have a few announcements this afternoon to run through very quickly. So Apostle is welcome visitors, so there is no need to do that. The first one, so just activities for the week. So starting from tonight, we have prayer and communion service online. That's at 8 p.m. tonight online, so via Zoom and YouTube as well. A few activities for the week, so starting from tomorrow, daily prayers in person, both here in Cathedral and at New Cross Bethesda building as well. So that's from 6 to 7 p.m. only. And then we have the online prayer from 8 p.m. So please feel free to join both here in person and then 8 p.m. online as well. On Tuesday, we have JTA. 7 to 8 p.m. at Bethesda, sorry, so New Cross Bethesda, and we will be transmitting online from 8 p.m. for the daily prayer. So JTA 7 to 8 at New Cross Bethesda building, and then they will be transmitting online from 8 p.m. On Tuesday as well. On Wednesday, we have the Bible study at 7 p.m. If you would like to contribute to on the day, please send a text message to the usual number. I think we should have that number on the screen. Please feel free to send a text message if you would like to contribute to Bible study on Wednesday. On Thursday, we're back, obviously, prayers at New Cross and at Bethesda as well, 6 to 7 p.m. in person, and then online, 8 p.m. As well. On Friday, we have our night vigil, which will be online from 11 p.m. So Friday night vigil online from 11 p.m. On Thursday, we have the Royal Destiny, so Women of Royal Destiny Word monthly meeting. So that would take place, so that's Thursday night at 7 p.m. That would take place before the 8 p.m. prayer. So feel free to join via Zoom. And the Zoom code they use is a normal Zoom that we use. So that's for the Women of Royal Destiny monthly meeting. On Saturday, 11th of May at 2 p.m., the Youth of Royal Destiny, so YORD, will be having their monthly meeting as well in person here in Cathedral. And that's taking place at 2 p.m., so my brother's keeper and my sister's keeper, the ages of 12 to 30. If you're 12 to 30, can I see your hands, please? 12 to 30. Wonderful. So you're all going to be here on Saturday for the... for the YORD meeting, Youth of Royal Destiny meeting. Just as an additional as well, so for the Youth of Royal Destiny, there's a fundraising that's going on. So they would be having, in readiness for the youth convention, they will be having a cookout and a football event on Sunday, 26th of May, 2024. You've got the information there on the screen. The entry fee is £3 for those who are under 18, and then £5 for everyone over 18. The entry fee is basically for your meal and everything else that you would enjoy on the day. So please feel free to register and support the youth as they prepare for the annual youth convention. Light of the world, we are preparing for, I say we because I'm a man as well, we are all preparing for our annual convention, and in readiness for that, the men are going to be having, the convention, by the way, takes place between the 24th and the 30th of June 2024, so the end of June. But in readiness for the convention, we have two major events that are going to be taking place. The first one is on the 15th of June. It's an economic summit. And this is about empowering leaders and empowering leaders of the future. Everyone is asking me who's a leader. If you're sitting here today, by the way, you are a leader. You don't need to have a leadership title in order for you to be a leader. It's basically tagged leadership when it matters most. So it's an economic summit, and it's tagged leadership when it matters most. Basically, what it's about is, in this crucial time, we will delve into topics that's aimed at empowering us as a church, as individuals, as family, as a body of Christ as well, in our community. It's about how do we navigate the challenging economic landscapes with wisdom and with resilience as well. We are going to focus on three major topics. So the first one is about understanding UK and global economic trends. So understanding what's going on so that we can act with wisdom and with resilience as well. The second one is about impacting us financially. So how do you make effective decisions about your money and the wealth God has given to you? It's really fundamental and really important. And the last one we will talk about is leadership principles for thriving in a challenging economy. And the last one actually will be covered by our beloved Apostle, who is extremely an expert when it comes to leadership. So please note that date down in your calendar. It's going to be on the 15th of June 2024 from 11 to 4. Can I say this very quickly, actually? This is really fundamental. We all have so much that God has placed inside of us. We need financial resource to spread the gospel of Christ. And the way you can get that financial resource is by empowering yourself with information, which is really, really critical and essential. You know, a few weeks ago, Apostle placed the bus here on the screen, and he talked about the fact that we are going to buy that bus. And the thing that came to my mind actually is, actually, I'm going to be one of those who are going to buy that. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be one of those. I can't hear you. Wonderful. There you go. That's the boss. I'm going to be one of those who's going to buy that in Jesus' name. And I pray that that will be for every one of us in Jesus' name. For you to do that, please come here and empower yourself about how do you navigate through financial challenges? How do you navigate economic uncertainty? In the midst of everything that's going on right now, people are making millions. And we are going to be one of those in Jesus' name. Not for ourselves, but so that we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then on the 22nd of May as well, we have another Light of the World event that's going to be taking place as well. So it's called a Healthy Living Seminar on the 22nd of June. Please mark that date in your calendar. And lastly, for everyone who is a Light of the World member, so if you're part of the Light of the World, if you're a man from the age of 18, you're part of the Light of the World. Please do not forget your monthly, your annual dues, which is due obviously in readiness for our anniversary. And then two more, very quickly. We have the Prophetic Voice Ministers Retreat taking place from the 22nd of June to the 25th of July at Birmingham Hilton Metropole. We've got a QR code on the screen there. Please scan it to register. If you are meant to attend, your deposit was due at the end of April. That's a reminder for me as well, so I've not paid my deposit. If you haven't paid your deposit and you've registered, it was due at the end of April. So please make sure that you do that. We have a thank you card here, and I can see a lovely baby on the screen, and it says thank you. This is baby Josiah, and it's from Deacon Jason and Sister Mayowa Otri, and it reads, Dear Apostle, Reverend Omar, pastors, elders, deacons, deaconesses, and the entire CFT congregation, thank you for celebrating the thanksgiving of our son Josiah unto the Lord. We appreciate all your support, prayers, gifts, and well wishes in honor of our baby. We pray that as you have been a blessing to us, God will remember your sacrifice and reward you in tenfold in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a very, very lovely picture. If you're here today, I don't know if you listen to Apostle. I mean, the biggest thing I picked up, what he was talking about was, with God, all things are possible. So if you're here today and you're believing God for the fruits of the womb, by this time next year, by the end of May 2025, you will come here rejoicing in Jesus' name. And just one more announcement. So there has been increased challenge of traffic congestion in front of the church out there. As a result, the church protocol team will be helping with traffic flow after service. So pick up and drop off outside the church building will not be allowed going forward. So if you're someone who is always sort of doing pick up and drop off, that's no longer allowed. Please drive a bit further park your car or to pick someone up. I think that's everything for today. God bless you in Jesus' name. And I pray that this week will be a blessed and a glorious one for you in Jesus' name. I would like to invite our Father Apostle.
Amen. The prophet has spoken. And we say, amen. Amen. Shall we rise up together, please? There is a song they sang in ECM. It says that God has spoken and we say amen. I don't know whether people know it.
Let the church say amen.
Let me hear you just say. Sing it. God has spoken. I'm hearing it in my head, but I can't understand, I can't interpret it. Is it? Brother, what's your name? You will join choir. Where? Say after me, God has spoken. And the people say amen. As you go this week, every word spoken on this pulpit will manifest in your life. It's no more business as usual for you. It should be business unusual, but by God. Surprises that will bewilder your enemies. Those who do not wish you well will celebrate your wellness. But I want you in your heart to make sure you do not allow anything in your heart. Do not let anyone that is not going to heaven try to beguile you so that you will not carry a burden that does not belong to you. Be at peace with all men and be holy, without which no man shall see the Lord. Shall we just read the Lord's Prayer together?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, thy power and thy glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we read together the book of Hebrews with an uplifted hand? Now, may the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. 2 Corinthians 13:14, read to somebody.
By the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now. And to yourself, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May God send you help this week from his sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May God remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offering. May God give you all the good desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when we are victorious, and we shall be victorious in every battle. We will lift up our banner in the name of our God. May the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, may he open a book of remembrance concerning you. May the Lord attend to your matter in this week. May the Lord grant you a constructive heart to enter into his providence. And may the God of Bethel, who appeared to Abraham and to Jacob at Bethel, may he open your eyes and to see divine and deep things.
Amen.
May you encounter God in your dreams.
Amen.
In Jesus' anointed name we are prayed.
Amen.
Before we sing, can I say to you that as many of you can, we are joining our brethren in Europe for Christ. at Elibank Street in East Ham. So if you are able to, please just Eltham. If you are free and you are able to, please join them. They always join us in our meetings, and when they have conference like that, it's good for us to breeze in and out to encourage them. For leaders, I have informed you prior today, and I expect leaders to show up in that meeting. And the Lord bless you. That shall be shouts of blessing, it will fall in your house. Can I just say that if you need the address of Euro for Christ, you ask at the desk, but it's on Elibank Road, Southeast 9, and that's Eltham. It's just this road down, and you get to the roundabout around there. And also, the leaders who want to go also, you can please make yourself known so that we will go there together. God bless you, and see you tonight on the Zoom. Remember, it's a communion and also house fellowship.